What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Swolecast here on Rotor Grinders. I almost said the Fantasy Insiders show. Like, I don't know why, but like, welcome to the Midnight Show, SiriusXM Fantasy Sports. But no, welcome to the Swolecast here on Rotor Grinders. With me, Dan, aka Mr. 05, Peter, aka FF Comedy Hour _Pete, and also new homeowner Davis Matic. Davis, how's it going, bud?
It's going great. Feeling good. Just just over leveraged myself on suburban home ownership now. So that's my new bit.
Did Tyler Hero get you a down payment?
Tyler Hero literally paid for about 8% of a new house, which feels good. Worst day of my life. Worst day of my life is going to be the first time I have to call a plumber or a whatever guy to come to my house and come fix something. That's going to be the worst day.
Those whatever guys are.
Yeah. I couldn't come up with another. I didn't want to just say handyman. Yeah. I couldn't come up with another thing though.
Those blue collar workers. Am I right, Davis?
Davis, you need to shoot the photo in front of your house with your girlfriend or your dogs holding the Tyler Hero the cereals. And then you can say, thank you, Tyler.
I got to have the jersey on and I got to tag him and I got to say, thank you, Tyler, for buying me a house.
Yeah. I wonder with the Top Shot craze and going up, like, did you have to explain to your loan officer where the money came from? Like, if it's not your account in 60 days.
Funny you ask, Dave. I had a conversation with my loan officer yesterday because I was talking in our chat like, oh, you know, how much should I put down? And I just, in the end, I was like, you know what? All this stuff, I'm just putting 20% down. But one of the things that he was asking me about was like, okay, well, you know, maybe we could waive the PMI if you did 15% down, if you could show me other assets. And I was like, funny you say that, because I was like, basically like, this is a bank in Missouri. Like, they don't consider, I was like, I have a bunch of Bitcoin and Ethereum. Can we consider that an asset? And he's like, dude, my boss is not going to go for that. Like, there's no way that your ledger balance is going to be good as an asset to my boss. And I was like, all right,
But check out the season one Tyler Hero.
Yeah, check out my season one Trey Young Genesis moment. I think this counts.
Bells was actually talking about this last week where he was looking for a place in Miami and had like five times the amount of the place he wanted to buy in cryptocurrency and still could not get a loan because they want to see a salary.
Pretty classic Bales, accidental brag. Yeah. And also, I was making some joke about being liquid on Easter, and then this giant conversation about getting home loans broke out in my mentions throughout the day.
Yeah, tough scenes. But I was also going to say, you know, Bales and I probably are looking at a different asset class of real estate, and probably we have different relationships with our bankers. I'm going to guess that Bales' relationship with his banker is a little bit different than mine.
Maybe not. But in Miami, I feel like, especially in Miami, because it's like embrace the culture of crypto, that like you should be able to find someone that can vibe with that, Davis.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it ended up working out. I had enough cash to get the down payment anyways, without having to sell any crypto. But if I'd wanted to buy something more expensive, I would have either had to borrow against my holdings or cash some of it out.
Okay, so this was, take us through the like the market right now, because you
don't buy a house is my advice. Basically, I live in a house right now, but I rent this house that I live in, and I have a 2-year lease, and I am coming up to the point of having to decide, okay, do I want to live here another year or 2 years or whatever, or buy a house? And I'm uniquely positioned and feel very lucky and feel very blessed to have the option to purchase a house right now. And it is truly the things you have to do right now to buy just okay houses. You got to go 40K over ask. You got to write a dumbass letter. You got to
Oh, did you write a letter?
I mean, I didn't. My girlfriend did, but we did. There is a letter.
Oh,
like what? That's like how we got ours. Was the letter? But people, narratives, man. You pull on the heartstrings, you're good to go.
You got your offer has to tell a story. Someone great told me that.
So you wrote a story, or you wrote a letter to the homeowner that is taking offers for the house.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that, well, if this was the like seventh house that it took, maybe the first six houses weren't appreciating your story that you were writing.
I hadn't been the top monetary offer on a house until this one. I'd been second or third place on most of them, because I was looking at these houses like, I'm not paying $70,000 over ask for this house. But I just am fed up. I just am done with it. Like, I just was done looking at houses. So I was like, just more money, just offer them more money.
So talk to us about kind of the new spaces. Are we going to have a Davis office, a home gym? What are we looking at?
Peter hasn't seen the man cave.
My office is going to be like, basically there's a whole basement. It's not finished, but it's all like, it's fine. It's a fine basement space.
The dreams that draft cheat goes to bed at night dreaming of.
Yeah, it's a decent little spot down in the basement where my office will be set up. It'll be fine. I'll have more space than where I'm at now. I mean, my office right now, I'm touching the roof right now.
I just want to say a heartfelt, I know this, you know, people aren't used to us being nice. Like whenever you're commenting on my nice body shots, or I am commenting you like, or like complimenting you, as far as you have come a long way, Davis.
I know, you love to see it.
Because you were like just in college.
Hey, Dave, can you write me a letter to my apartment? Trying to get in my apartment.
That's so funny that literally I would have to be like, Dave, will you give me a proof of employment so I can rent this $800 a month apartment? Like, some of the places I lived in college, I can't even believe I survived them. They were so bunk.
Yeah. I can relate. We had a five-person house. Just imagine like five college guys living in a house and all sort. It was craziness. I never lived in a dorm, so I never got to experience like the dorm life.
Dave Kitchen would. I bet Dave Kitchen would have been a fun dorm life guy.
Yeah. Our house was it was like open door policy. So people would come in and go out just as they please. Like, we never locked the doors. So. It was pretty fun. Pete, you live like on the beach going to that college.
Yeah, my school was quite literally on the beach, and so much so that like the local surfers would come into our dorms to use our showers after surfing. And you'd always be like, why is there this 35-year-old man, you know, coming in here to shower right now? But it was a good spot.
And now you're that 35-year-old man.
33, my Larry Bird year.
Fake young.
Dude, in like my Discord the past few days, there's been a couple guys that have revealed themselves to be 22 and 23, and I've never felt so old.
Latest Substack idea I've had, seeing all of the feedback that I got from the Lululemon shorts, and that was really me starting out asking a question, and Andy, who is a part of Club Top Shot, he's the one that kind of recommended the specific Lululemon short, and so I bought it, and sure enough, they are fire. But just like, as when you creep up into your 30s, you lose a little bit of like, you're just out of touch with what's cool, and it's like, it's okay to
speak for yourself, bro.
No, Davis, like, you don't listen to the same music. Well, you do listen to the same music. That's the problem.
No,
you don't
listen to new music. I do not miss out on the new music.
And then you get, you make fun of me because you can't even relate to the kind of cutting edge shit I listen to, Dave.
No, yours is just like weird. I mean, your new music is just like the genre of weird. But
that's the point I'm making. You're saying that you're the old one here, Dave.
I know, but once you have kids, like you... There is stuff that cuts into your time as far as like, instead of listening to a new album, you're listening to, you know, the ABC song on Netflix. Like you just like lose a little bit of your independence, and that's fine because
that does not happen to me, dude. I still listen to new music.
No, this will happen to you, Davis. I'm telling you this. I'm telling you right now that this will happen. Tuttle, back me up on this.
When every word can't be a swear word or the N word, like, yeah, you start listening to new music. You're not going to be blasting rap in front of your, 3-year-old kids.
Listen, 21 Savage, my kid better get used to it because it's just going to happen.
But anyways, we need, like, guys my age, we need a cheat code. We need just, like, what's cool? Like, just tell me what to buy, basically. Tell me what I need right now. And not just, like, in the area of, like, my body, but also, like, workspace setup, home theater stuff. Just tell me what I need to buy, basically, so I can keep up with the ever-evolving society.
It sounds like you're begging for what you actually want to be yourself, which is a dad influencer. You need a dad to influence you.
Well, and that's what every good product starts off as, is like a solution to a problem. So maybe...
Hang on, real quick. I did want to ask, did Holly take those photos of you in your Lululemon shorts?
Oh, yeah. In the front of our house.
Disgusting.
So it's like... I was fully expecting us to be like on the suburban influencers in the wilds type whatever. But yeah, she's the one that got all the good angles too.
Yeah.
She's a fan of the shorts.
You got to work hard to find a good Soccer Dave angle. So props to the photographer.
not on the lower half. all right. Davis, what's next on the agenda for the Swolecast?
Well, I just wanted to tell you that is actually a good idea, like a subscription box for dads of like, okay, you get, here is like, here's the newest best rap album. Here is like what, what the 21-year-olds are buying to wear. These are like what, yeah, like this is actually a good idea.
All right. Be on the lookout tonight for the Substack form.
Now you need
people in their like respective areas to like, be masters of their domain though, as far as like a TLDR type newsletter.
I will give you an anecdote from my personal life, of which I don't love to do on this show, but there is actually an area of my life where at 28 years old, I'm already a stone cold boomer, and that is in skateboarding. Like all of the skateboarding stuff that I liked growing up, it's all out of date now. The kids wear different clothes. They like different skateboards. They wear different size pants. They have like, it's all different. So when I go to the skate park,
they don't even know who Tony Hawk is, probably.
Not that far, but like they, like someone like, I just like some famous skateboarders from when I was growing up, I have complete, they're not in the zeitgeist anymore. And
who is the greatest skateboarder to you, Davis?
Like the actual best?
Yes.
Tony Hawk and Log Out, bro.
No, it's probably for me, my favorite skateboarder ever, not the greatest, but my favorite ever is a guy by the name of Sean Malto, who is from, he's from Kansas City. I met him for the first time. He's my same age. Mm-hmm. I met him for the first time when we were both 12. And
I wanted to come full circle where someone just like absolutely calls that guy like a boomer and he's not that good, where you get upset, like you made us Michael Jordan truthers upset last year around The Last Dance.
I mean, that already exists. Like that happens for me already.
The thing is about all this stuff too, and I've had this conversation with people about music, is it's not actually about quality. It's about like nostalgia and your emotional attachment for it. Just like I refute when the people are like, the music was as good as it'll ever be in the 60s. It'll never get any better. I'm like, do you know how many musicians had access to equipment and recording studios versus today? Like it is literally impossible for the music then to have been better than it is right now. You just have an affinity for it because you listen to that record 9,000 times as a teenager.
That's why I bought the Kings of Leon NFT.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. 100%.
We need an updates on Soccer Dave's NFT buys.
Oh, we do.
Oh, shoot. I've clicked the wrong button. Sorry. Sorry, Devin.
So while Devin gets that fixed, I'll tell another anecdote.
You got to pin the video.
In what? and what Pete is talking about, this is actually like verifiably true in skateboarding, because people are actually better at it now than they were. Like, people are jumping down more stairs, like doing like actually physically harder to do things. And so in basketball, you can't really compare Michael Jordan to LeBron James fairly, because not all else was equal. But like everything in skateboarding,
especially
is actually
if you're
equal.
Talking about a killer instinct, if you know what I mean.
I would never say those words.
And it's the same thing too. Like, take someone like Jerry Seinfeld, just when there is this idea of a monoculture where the best stand-up comedian got his show on TV, that roadmap doesn't exist anymore. There's comedians who are way more talented than Jerry Seinfeld. Sorry, Jerry. But there isn't like a monoculture to put them at the top of the podium in a way there was in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So stuff that you've bought recently since the last walk and the past 2 weeks can be NFT personal, like me, Lululemon shorts, three man's coins. Boy, I cannot wait till those pay for my next house.
You haven't even requested the physical ones yet, Dave.
It's because I'm going to give them away. oh, that's the other thing. I got to give away a chubby to a man's coin holder, but there was some drama in the NFT world with the chubbies, because basically they just totally ripped off a 2017 or 2018 artist who did like these chubbies. They just took a little bit of everything and just ripped it off. Pixel Hans is who they ripped off. So these chubbies are worth next to nothing right now. It's an interesting development.
So what do you mean by rip off? Because obviously there's a million crypto right. punk derivatives, which you could say it ripped off of them, but are you saying this was like even more direct than being inspired by?
Well, and that's the thing, is what, you know, when you're getting like a crypto 3D punk or whatever, you know, it's based off of the crypto punk.
Yeah.
And so they still have a little bit of value, because people say, well, you know, they're just inspired by them, just like these other like black and white punks, like ripped off the regular punks. But the issue is that they did not disclose this beforehand. So you did not think that these were inspired. You thought these were original, but, and they also took the attributes.
Are you telling me that someone created an NFT that was just about getting as much money into their accounts as possible? Are you telling me that, Dave?
Well, and they got Davis, you know, Gary V, right? You know him now. Like, he was one of the guys that pumped the project and got people like me.
Gary V pumping something?
Gary V's involved.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
They made millions of dollars on this project. And
can we get a ruling on the Gary V drawings? Am I wrong to be absurdly tilted by the Gary V drawings, or is that fine to be tilted by?
I haven't seen them. What are they?
You're the next drawing is going to be Tilted Toucan with. So basically they're just, It's just him goofing around, though. He draws like these animals, and it's like the adjective for them is, there's always an adjective, and it's always the same letter as the animal's name.
This is my thing, and this reflects poorly on me. I just get tilted when people are positive online. I think I just get tilted when people are like talking about positivity online. It really tilts me.
This is why you and I have such a feud.
Peter, you are so right. Dave literally wants nothing more than to be like a father of daughters Instagram influencer. Like, that would just be that is just his final form. That's what he wants more than anything on this earth.
And no. I think Dave in his head like knows all the things he would have to do to actually be successful at it, and knows he could do it if he wanted to, and then he gets to step one and he just gets exhausted thinking about what it would take.
Well, it's like you gotta spread it out, like that picture shoot, and then having to
how long did the shoot take? Shoot implies like an after.
You didn't see all of the other pictures that came out of it. I mean, when you're looking for the most perfect angles, you got to have a lot of You got to have a lot of angles.
Like when I ask Lauren to take a photo or like record something for me, I mean, I'm like, Lauren, this will take 4 seconds. I literally just need you to take a picture of me holding up this CryptoPunk photo. Like, get in, get out. You're out here doing photo shoots in the lawn.
Yeah, there were a few, like maybe those will come out in the blooper reel, but I do like, that is going to be a bit this summer for sure. Hot dad summer. Like you said, like that will be a bit, I just got to space it out a little bit because I can't do it every day. It's people don't realize like people bag on influencers, but they work hard at what they do.
You know
they
what?
Do.
No, I rebuke this take.
If they're doing it right, if they're doing it right and creating a post and everything else, like it takes a lot to do that.
Can we get a Tuttle temperature take on Top Shots? Can we bring Dan?
Can we
in the
just
show
bring just Tuttle to... in right now?
Why don't we bring Dan's in the green room right now? Why don't we bring Dan in?
Just making soccer lineups, enjoying you guys chatting. You know.
I mean,
I didn't know Top Shots was still a thing. So. I thought that died with all your accounts.
Am I allowed to talk about something I noticed in the BTC Slack, or is that on the low?
Was it a new group that was formed?
Yeah, we abandoned Brit. We couldn't do it anymore, so we started a Bulls only channel.
Tuttle is so tilted right now.
Oh my gosh, you guys kicked me out of the Slack. I mean, it's
Bulls
it's
only.
Common Top Shot elitist. I mean, status. That's all it is. You elitists like to circle jerk.
Bro, I am not an elite. That is not fair. That is not fair to lump me in.
100%
Okay. Well, here's the thing. If you are a collector like I am, like Davis is, like Peter is, you don't want someone to just rain on your parade every single comment that's in the chat.
It is terrible. And there exists this dichotomy with Top Shot where the Bulls are, well, this is what I don't like. I gotta say, the Bulls, they gotta stop trying to make bull runs be a thing. Like, it's fine that it's going down. It's okay. It's okay, man. It's fine. You don't have to every day when there are $3 million in sales or $5 million in sales, it doesn't have to be the start of a bull run. It's okay, man. It's all right, bro.
As long as when the sky is falling every single day, it's just tough to be in an active group because it's a gathering of negativity, as Davis says.
Honestly, I thought I was doing a good job.
Yeah.
I thought I was.
You're not even one of the worst offenders, Tuttle.
Yeah, you're not.
Not even close.
I thought I was doing a good job. I knew your accounts were falling fast, and I thought I was doing a good job not saying anything.
Cool. Thank you.
I hope.
I mean, I was not.
I knew your marriage was in trouble, but.
I do hope that Soccer Dave has at least turned some of his Top Shot dollars into ETH at least. I hope.
Yes. Well, it took a little bit to get that the ability to do that, and. Now it's
don't you dare say anything bad.
Every 2 to 3 days I get a little more ETH. But it is definitely the trickle effect. There is no it's gonna be a while basically, which is okay.
Why are you cashing out?
Because not good. There is I feel like I'm still collecting. I'm doing a good job collecting. I was going for the pack. I bought a Paul George series one last week, but I feel like my account is in a good spot.
He needs to make some money to pay his photographer, if you know what I mean.
I have a buy that I'm going to be making, and I think the last thing I bought was a Rising Star, but Pokusevski has a 3-star rookie out. I am going to be probably at the next pre-order pack drop. I'm going to be purchasing one of those, hopefully a double digit or 3-digit serial.
You gotta pack your bags before you pump them, my man. What's going on?
I just think because what always happens is
guy who pumped Zed Run the night of the launch.
I have two horses technically, but I am not a Zed bull by any stretch of the imagination.
I know I have two horses as well, and it's just too much for me.
To fix the site. It's impenetrable for normies.
Yeah. Oh man.
I'm like half convinced.
Actually putting money on Top Shots right now? Like that's a legit question. You can't say people buying with already Dapper Bucks that are already on the site. Like, is anybody actually depositing new funds onto the site?
I mean, you can see this from Crypto Slam, and the answer is yes.
It separates. I mean, you're just talking about transactions that happen, right?
I mean, the daily number of transactions and the total number of market buyers and sellers is still up. It still goes up. There are still more additions to that. I don't have exact tallies of like the trend of daily active users. And best I can tell, they said signups are open, but best I can tell, that is not true. It is not true that you can just log on and create. I think you still have to have a
lucky when you try.
Davis, don't be spreading false information if you don't know it for sure.
Save this for the Bear Channel.
Yeah, save this for your Johnson & Johnson.
So this is, I think, the dichotomy that you see is there are people who are like bullish and they think that Top Shot is going to spend $90 million on marketing during the NBA playoffs. Mm-hmm. I kind of believe that like 3 weeks ago. I do not believe that at all now. I don't think they're doing a shred of marketing until next NBA season. That's my current thought.
Well, there are new people that are coming into the site. Like it's to the point where word of mouth is still going to spread. Now, is it going to be as rapid fire as it was? No, but like there are still people that sign up for DFS sites. And you would think,
imagine,
that's been now around for 8 years.
So is somebody signing up going to bring value to your moment or bring value to the company?
Company, not moment. I've said this before too. Many of these moments are just largely, they're going to sell for a buck, which is what we see right now. However, I still am pretty bullish on like any dollar spent on a series one probably is good 5 years from now. I think that is still probably
true.
But
it is super long term now, basically.
100%. Yeah, I don't think this is a 3 month turnaround.
It could be like a 9 month turnaround, the beginning of next season. Whenever they do turn on that faucet, or whenever, if they get the NFL, I think the value of the NBA still stays the same as far as series one. But then if they get the NFL, then around the start of next NBA season, you're going to see just kind of what happens in the cardboard community as well, where the volume, transaction volume, is the heaviest at the beginning of the season. So
actually, just seeing this tweet now, what are your guys' thoughts? There's somebody that tweeted, Harobob, not a fan of Top Shots. Thoughts on that?
He did an about face. No, but like when it first came out, he was saying like he wanted to get the Luka game-winning three-point shot or one of those. And then he kind of changed his tune here recently. And then Luka yesterday, I think, comes out with his NFTs that have been selling. So who knows what's going on there with where his interests align.
So I think Bob's stance is very clear. He is a crypto guy. He is a Bitcoin guy.
He wants open. Yeah, he wants decentralization, like complete decentralization.
Yeah, he wants to be able to take his moment, which by the way, the second that they allow offsite transactions where I can send my moments to my wallet, I'm doing it. I will, well, not all of them, but you know, the ones I like, I'm getting them, all of them off and putting them on my wallet. Now, I don't think that'll happen for like a year. And I get that crypto bro perspective, but from a consumer facing perspective, my guess is 80% of Top Shot users don't give a shit about Ethereum or the Flow blockchain or Bitcoin or decentralization
or anything.
That's why it's
popular. That's why it's, yeah. Exactly.
Like, like that, and that shift will change as crypto in and of itself like becomes more popular. Yeah. So in the past year, there've been a lot more people getting to crypto. I think as that progresses, NFTs, like the good projects will kind of surface to the top. Speaking of good projects, I wanted to make an announcement that I am a part owner of a SoRare team.
Oh, there we go.
You actually delved into SoRare, huh?
Is it Logi?
No. This is the tokenized community that I'm a part of.
Is this a DAO?
Is basically we all went in and we are a part of the soccer. I'm not even sure if I can say it. I'm not sure what the rules are.
If you were to put money into one NFT project today, I would say it would either be an S1 LeBron or SoRare.
Those boxes. Oh yeah.
I don't know about that.
The NFT boxes.
This is
going
where Dave also says Darius Garland.
So the NFT boxes.
He had a 37-point game.
Who's the guy that made the boxes?
Pranksy. They've got a huge release this month. It's from XCopy, which is one of the original artists. So the value of these boxes going back up. Still haven't sold our 500 box, Pete. I'm still
wondering
in
what the story is. We need to have an investors meeting about that sometime.
Yeah, and see what the Genesis key is worth. that project is actually picking back up, whereas other projects are going down. So you are,
Dave,
seeing.
Dave, I got a question for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the United States jamming out all these vaccines has been bad for your bags?
What does that mean?
People, do you think that, out? I mean, we just surpassed 100 million doses of vaccines. Now, obviously a lot of those are first doses. Mm-hmm. But do you think that Biden stepping up vaccines, spreading them out, 16 and up being eligible, do you think that just more people getting vaccinated, do you think that is bad for your bags?
I mean, I think that there are going to be repercussions for that, but it might be bad, like personally on a kind of slight level, but I value my mental bags. You got to protect your chicken,
real thought leader stuff. Dave, you should tweet
your mentals. Yeah.
Dave, you should make a tweet that's saying value your mental bags most of all. Yeah.
Your mentals above your chicken. That's kind of how I view it. Like it's not to the point where it's going to make the bags go to zero. Like these are always going to be a thing. Like crypto is always going to be a thing now, right? Like decentralization is always going to be a thing.
Yeah. We got to get you to sell some bags for Bitcoin.
Getting out in the world is not going to, cause these things to go to zero. Like we are living in the digital age. There's still going to be digital subscriptions, digital assets, everything. And the fact that we can get out and enjoy life, that's okay.
Yeah, the metaverse isn't going anywhere.
Everyone, when you can actually go outside and go hang out with people and stuff, I promise you won't feel the need to refresh your evaluate.market every 14 seconds.
I use and let me pump moment ranks because I just think they are a little bit better on the mentals.
Well, really, if you think about it, Dave, you actually really started Moment Ranks because you famously mentored Christian Hardy, who is an employee of Moment Ranks. So if you really think about it, you're kind of responsible for Moment Ranks. Also, how have we gotten 34 minutes into the show and no one has talked about the Coinbase IPO? I feel like this is...
Well, I almost mentioned it just now as far as like crypto's not going anywhere. You just had like a huge moment where Coinbase went public. It's everything is going digital and crypto is about to continue to take off. Do you think that Bitcoin or ETH will continue to what will rise the most, Davis? As a maximalist, what are you predicting to rise the most?
So this is... I don't want to say problem, but this is the issue that ETH is going to face. ETH is most tied to the metaverse. ETH is most tied to people being online. ETH is most tied to smart contracts, to NFTs, to digital applications, towards people being more online. Bitcoin is more tied to your real life because Bitcoin responds to monetary supply and Bitcoin responds to demand. And you know, every day, the United States Federal Reserve prints more US dollars. Bitcoin just passed Canada as the number 10 monetary supply in the world. Like Bitcoin, the amount of value in Bitcoin is now the 10th largest monetary supply in the world. So I think that Bitcoin just presents itself as more anti-fragile towards all the different ways that the world can go. But of course I believe that, and that's not a surprising answer.
My sister texted me last week, what is Bitcoin? Do you have any? Do I need to get it? I mean,
what did you tell her? What did you tell her?
I basically told her that it was another asset class. You know, I love my sister. She's a nurse. She's very smart in the world of being a nurse. And when it comes to like explaining cryptocurrency to her, it was going to be way too detailed of a conversation. So I dumbed it down for her, and just said, yeah, sure. Get some, basically buy some. But
have you bought your kids any Bitcoin?
No, I haven't. Well, I mean, if you consider the Bitcoin I bought myself will eventually be theirs, maybe.
Yeah, I don't. I've been joking around about both the ETH and the Bitcoin maximalists on Twitter. And it's so ridiculous because they're almost apples to oranges for what their use cases are, what they can mm-hmm. do. And yet the tribalism comes out and the Bitcoin bros get mad when ETH is having its day in the sun. And then the ETH guys say, you know, the Bitcoin guys are ridiculous. And I don't know. I think it's all.
It's kind of like the seasonal versus DFS combos that we used to have back in the day.
Or like sports betting versus DFS, where a lot of people are like, oh man, sports betting is going to kill DFS or, you know, it's like they're different things.
All right. So what's DFS and what's sports betting, Peter?
I would say that DFS is Bitcoin and sports betting is Ethereum.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I would have thought you would have said the other way around.
It is inarguable that there are more applications and more platforms to be built on Ethereum, but it's also inarguable that Ethereum is centralized and can be ruined by human judgment and Bitcoin cannot.
All right. So Peter, before we delve into the NFL draft, 38 minutes. Man.
People forget this is a football show.
It's a football show. Pete, can we do 5 minutes of you pretending to be like Kirk Herbstreit?
So, Peter, tell us what the man's thought about how the project went. Like, what are his thoughts after you talk to him?
Yeah, I would say the drop went about to be expected. You know, he felt a little guilty about about the gas fees. You know, based on the amount of work that his producer is putting in for all of this and packaging and shipping and all of that stuff. Yeah. The price point was fine. I just hated that people had to pay like 40% in gas. And then the auction on Monday was absolutely insane. Clairvoyant, which is a guy that a lot of people know in the DFS community, ponied up 4.2 ETH. Mans did an interview with him yesterday, actually going to get that posted after this. And it blew our minds, absolutely blew our minds. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, Clairvoyant, J-Rake, they're both kind of in that. They both are, I guess, for DFS, like they're a package deal. And they also, I met them at an RG party in Nashville a few years ago. But Clairvoyant, he also has a lot of Anthony Edwards moments.
Yeah. That was his early call. And he's like a legend in our Discord because he was pumping that Edwards like long before it shot.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the reasons why I got more Anthony Edwards is because I saw how much he and J-Rake were getting as well. And I was like, well, this is just like, there are going to be less moments of these. And turns out it worked pretty well. Well, good for Man's coin holders, I guess. We'll see.
You guess? Yeah.
Yeah. As someone does anyone hold more than three? I think me and Lou Dog had three.
Oh, of the NFTs. No, I think you guys are the triple badge whales.
We are the ones that love and support Manz and people related to him the most, I would say.
Yeah. Lou posted a photo of his Manz coins in his hammock yesterday, which was great.
Davis, did you get any NFTs?
I was buying a fucking house, dude. I can't.
No, Davis, stop.
No.
I thought Davis was my friend.
Like 90% of my net worth is in Bitcoin and Ethereum, and I'm not selling any of it because I can't create a taxable event.
Manz sent you a Manz coin though, right?
Oh, I have a physical coin. Yeah.
Well, all right. We know who's the supportive ones.
Wait, Davis,
around
do you even have an OpenSea account?
Yes, I have an NFT, and I created a nifty gateway to try and buy a point one ETH. Kitchen sent it to me. It was really cool, but it were only 10 of them, and I didn't get it in the drop.
Oh yeah, I remember that. the nifty gateway projects.
I am not as much of an NFT bull as David. I am more bullish on the thing it's being built on.
I am not as much either. Like when no, all assets don't, go to don't, zero.
No, don't.
However, you do have to pick your project. So I got all the Nifty Gateway stuff, even the angels for now. Sorry, Peter. You're left hodling the bags. So that was profitable. And there are projects like I'm being where, as far as like the great Peter Overzet recently said, he's being more choosy. I'm in the same boat where it has to be something special, something that either I want to support or collect, or you think there's real value. We'll fully admit I bought another Mooncat 2 days ago.
Wow. Bullish on the Mooncat.
Rescue to Mooncat.
Actually, this is a good one for you, Dave. Are you going after the MB SJQ today?
No.
The Astro in the Universe.
No.
Pete's boy.
Yeah. See, I have different. I have a little different opinion. What's on. Your... Like, I think that art is awesome.
Here we go. Someone clip that. I think art is awesome.
I think art is awesome.
That art. Okay, is awesome. Is it as valuable as a small group of people like have placed the value on it? No. And
holy shit, David with a measured take when it comes to NFT.
Tuttle loves the fact that I'm bearish on a NFT project. As far as like the specific artwork, like if someone enjoys that theme, great. I think one of the things that ruins it for me from the like creative standpoint is that some of it just looks like visual effects type stuff where Bonnie, you guys remember Bonnie, our virtual assistant, like that's what he's doing in India now, is like creating like awesome like effects for movies. And so for me, some of the stuff, it's like the digital side where it's just art, and it's just the same thing over and over again as far as like the theme goes. It's not as valuable to me.
As opposed to Mooncats that just have so much depth.
See, there is historic. You're gonna make me pump my bags, but there is historical value to Mooncats, and the reason why I bought one yesterday is because the developers for Mooncats are launching a Mooncat community. And as you know,
it's all about the community.
As you know,
as Manz once said,
so how do you launch a community?
Well, it's like no one knows just yet, but they like on their little log, this is a speculative buy,
they're right where they want you, Dave.
If you say the word community and you are like have an NFT following, that's like guaranteed 12 retweets, 111 faves. Like if you just say community and put the heart emoji, like it's done, bro.
Community is the new in a GPP.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
Did you see the whole couch thing yesterday?
Yeah.
Now this one passed me by.
This one's deep in the Ethereum meme Twitter verse.
Oh, did it happen in your secret chat?
The BTC vault. No, that's way too normy of a chat for couch talk.
So somehow someone like created, I think they're talking about the origin of it escapes me. Like, I don't know the exact origin, but basically your crypto assets, your digital assets on a couch, the specific couch became a meme yesterday, or yes, I guess it was yesterday. And I saw, and because the way that it works now on Twitter, because there's so much out there, is you see something, you see a few people that you're following, and they all have the same thing. It's like, okay, well, Andy, this other guy all have profile pictures of a couch with something on it. And then you get curious, and then you do a search like NFT couch or, you know, on Twitter, and you try to figure out like where the origin came from. Is that how it happened to you, Peter?
Yeah. I mean, Andy's kind of my tastemaker signal. Anything going on in the ETH meme community, he's on top of. I actually tried to have the girl make me one. She didn't reply. So then I just created my own.
You did create your own couch?
Well, I made it. It was a little footrest where I put the sliver of my punk. Nice. The bit that just keeps on giving.
Yeah, I know. Actually, it's a profitable bit, though.
Yeah, do you think 2x'd already.
Do you think that the CryptoPunk, 1/5 of a CryptoPunk, is the smartest financial decision you've ever made in your life?
I honestly don't know. We'll find out. Right now it is.
My new favorite thing is people who have a CryptoPunk trying to make CryptoPunks like Bitcoin, like hard money. Like I saw this outrageously bullish one this morning the of this
beanie.
Dude.
Dude, that one was ridiculous. Yeah. They got to chill out, man.
Every millionaire has to have one Bitcoin and every millionaire has to have one CryptoPunk, and there's only 10,000 of them, baby.
Well, there a lot of people own more than one CryptoPunk, so there's even less owners.
Well, that's what I'm talking about with the tribalism. It's the same thing when Pierre Richard tweets out, don't renovate your house, buy Bitcoin. It's like, are you listening to yourself right now?
The Bitcoin. I love Bitcoin, but the Bitcoin maxi tweets just slay me. Like the dudes who were like, don't eat fiat food, dude. Only eat fiat steak food. Like the idea of fiat, it just kills me, dude. Like everything bad's gotta be fiat, and everything like Bitcoin steak, bro. You gotta do it. It just cracks me up.
Yeah. Well, the thing with Bitcoin and ETH is that you can just have a little bit of a taste without getting like the yield farming, the Zed horses, stuff that's like pretty intricate. It's just too much for me. And like, what's the opposite of a maximalist? Because I feel like I'm in the middle between a maximalist and it's not like a minimalist. It's
you're a speculative investor.
Yeah. So just in the middle, as far as some of the stuff, like just being in a conversation that there is yield farming talk, it gives me a headache because I just cannot wrap my mind around it. And it feels like there's a lot of work that goes into it.
Yeah. And I mean, I've been listening to a decent amount now of NFT and DeFi podcasts, and like the one thing you will hear from all these people, and Dave, you know it from your NFT deep dive, is these guys eat, breathe, and sleep these projects. They're in the Discord. They say they wake up, and just to catch up on the messages, it's like a 2-hour ordeal just on what they missed while they were sleeping. These guys are putting in the work to like learn this shit and go find it out. And it's, I don't have the time to do it.
Yeah. It's like the original DFS guys that produced, like did their own scripting and like put in like that's, they put in a lot of time, and that's how they got the edge. And then everyone else, like eventually everyone else is going to get an optimizer. And it's going to be less valuable for them, but they've already will have made a lot of money by that time. So,
yeah.
All right. We got to, this ever, is a football show, so we got to get into football.
No football. We're done. I decided we're scrapping it.
Okay.
Kitchen, do you ever feel like you should just put all of this NFT money, all of it into just yield farming? Like, shouldn't you just be doing that?
No, because it's extensive. Like, I honestly do not. I do not spend a lot of time on NFTs these days. Like, I know that's hard for you to imagine, but like, there is very little time spent right now on NFTs for me. Like, I'm being choosy and I'm in a good spot and I'm going to stay in that spot because it's too much for me right now.
Yeah.
Peter?
No, I'm the same way. It's getting overwhelming.
So I'm not even saying the time though. I'm saying the money.
No. So what do you guys think Dave cut back down to from like 10 hours a day on NFTs?
Like 2 hours, I bet.
No, not even that.
Yeah,
I don't buy it.
I actually do buy it because Dave has an addictive personality. He's either all in or he's just like out. So sure. I think it's either like 9 hours a day or you're just back out.
That's a good point. Yeah.
No, I mean, I still am reading like the discords as far as like specific communities, but even and when something like pops up, I'll hop in the Discord. So I'm not like really an active member of any Discord right now. I'm just kind of floating. And whenever something cool happens, I'll pop in and say, hey, but it's getting warmer outside.
I'm here.
Hey guys.
Are you concerned you're creating an echo chamber?
No, not at all. I feel like NFTs, like I'm still bullish on the concept of NFTs and like blockchain, like my eyes have been opened. So there are going to be obviously like cash grabs, but there is some cool stuff that's happening right now.
Yeah. Hermsmeyer found this cool project called Mobile Coin. Don't know if you heard about that.
Don't. There will be no
Hermsmeyer falling. Hermsmeyer falling for a Ponzi scheme pre-mined coin is so painfully on brand.
Save it for the Takecast.
Have Frisco. Yeah. I was just going to say that. Get Frisco on the Takecast and duke it out.
we've tried it before. It just doesn't work because there are a lot of reasons why it doesn't work, but it's not gonna happen.
All right, so since we're scrapping the football stuff, and I've already thrown out my next Substack idea. Peter, what is your next NFT? Like, what are some NFT things you've thought of that might be pretty cool?
Well, I mean, I was talking about it with Davis yesterday. I'm most interested, like the whole thing that NFTs have disrupted right now is kind of the model for artists. And I'm now curious of what are going to be the other applications for this. Because I think the whole thing about this is like, if this was just about, you know, making it easier for artists to like, that's not as interesting long-term. It's more thinking about all the other spaces that this can happen. So that's the kind of stuff I'm looking to. I don't think BitClout is it, but I also do not think
BitClout is it.
Tuttle, do you want to?
I signed up. I thought it was a cool idea. Tuttle
signed up for BitClout.
I did too, just to make sure no one took my thing.
I never actually like put any money on. I think the concept.
How much is
awesome.
Your?
I think it's
how
cool
much
concept.
Is the Tuttle? Yeah, I mean it is
it's
as
cool
far as like decentralization of.
Invest into people that you think are going to have, you know, impact.
I just sold all my Bitcoin into Vegas Dave coin on BitClout.
Vegas Dave going to pump BitClout was so good.
I'm trying to figure out how to get my Clash of Clans DFS idea onto the blockchain. And once that happens, look out.
Do you think that's the best money you ever spent was team DFS site development?
Yeah.
Oh, I heard someone, so I was getting tagged and stuff. This guy, Ben Hauver, I did a podcast with him the other day. He was tossing out the idea of NFTs for like best ball lineups, which not just like to collect it, but the idea of a marketplace where the, you know, obviously teams look better when they're initially.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where you could have your team up for sale. Like that would be a cool concept, I think.
We're going to see fantasy concepts for this. And I've got some in my head that
Glenn Whale already touted to us like the best idea for a dynasty fantasy football league ever.
We got to do that. It was basically just one of his concepts for this like cost thing of basically you have to be whatever value you put on your asset. So say you have Odell Beckham in your league and you put that dollar amount, someone is able to pay you that amount and take it. if you want. But if you price it at a really high amount, say you say it's like $500 out of a, you know, $600 cap, you have to pay an interest on that. So you might have to pay like a $50 interest a year and you're like, okay, I don't care about it that much. So it's like trying to find the most efficient price for it based on you setting it and letting the market decide.
Or you have to put a draft pick offer. So like, Derrick Henry is worth 2 firsts and a third. And then if everyone does that, or if someone matches that, then it automatically gets matched. That person automatically gets traded off your team. And there could be some sort of penalty associated. I mean, the rules would have to get pretty deep into it, but it would be amazing. It would be incredible. So
I don't even know how to say this league, but it's Otanu, maybe. OTT.
Yeah. Baseball.
Yeah. No, it's there's also one for football. So, you remember, I don't know if you guys remember Lars, he was one of the OG fantasy baseball guys and passed away. So Peter Schenke asked me to take over his team. And it's another one of those things that's very in depth where there's like your players have a salary cap and you can't go over the cap, but you can trade money. And then every year, like the price of your players go up and then you can like assign, you get a handful of dollars you can assign to people. Like that stuff would be fun on the blockchain with actual money, because this is not actual money. This is just for fun. So that sort of stuff. But Peter, to your point, this is what people are thinking about in our space, because we are like, that's our industry right now. Every industry is thinking about what they can do with blockchains or NFTs.
Yeah.
Correct.
So like, we're thinking about fantasy projects. That's why I think that there will be fantasy projects that are out there that utilize NFTs, and any other industry.
And I'll probably be the sucker buying in.
it should be fun, and we should all be excited, even you, Mr. Tuttle 05.
Oh, I'm just
Dan is too cranky, man. Dan,
what's the thing
cranky
you're most excited about these days?
What gets you really excited?
What does Dave get? What does Dan get excited about?
I mean, my buddy won $100,000 last night. That was cool.
Yeah.
Shipped it with the Marlins.
Yeah.
Who was it?
Oh, not a DFS guy at all. He's a blue collar worker that Davis frowns upon.
Wow.
He's
actually shelved up with a really bad ankle injury right now. He like fractured his ankle.
Goodness.
Yeah, he's been out of work for three months or so.
Well, it sounds like this came at a good time.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sick. The DFS dream is still alive and well for those committed to putting the time into it, apparently.
My God, man. The DFS streets, dude. The games are so tough.
And they're opening up another state.
MLB's still fun.
Opening up another state with Arizona. Shout out to the fantasy footballers and all the other maybe Russell Clay lives out there. There's a bunch of Arizona guys that are like
Shout out to DK Pro, Soccer Dave, pumping the DK bags.
No, I'm just saying it's crazy because it, like, as long as we've been playing DFS, they have not had the ability to play DFS.
Yeah. That does just seem bizarre. Yeah.
Like, this is going to be their first time. Like,
well, let me tell you, they're getting in at a great time.
So that's what
this
it's all
like
about.
Getting in Top Shots 2 weeks or 3 months ago.
The football. Someone needs to do the Will Smith Fresh Prince of Bel-Air gif where he comes into the empty living room, like looking around. DFS is here.
I can't wait to see Mike or Jason just like tilting the next day of something that happened. So yeah, good stuff there. All right, that will do it. Next week, I'm not sure, when is the draft? Is it next week or the week after?
The week after. I think we're still 2 weeks from tomorrow, right?
So perfect. So 2 weeks from today, we'll have some fantasy content. Still hoping for that best ball super flex.
Best ball super flex
premium tight end league. I saw a Rich. I saw him disparage the tight end premium, and really?
Well, yeah, it doesn't really make sense.
It made me upset. It upset me.
The league is going the other way.
They're not embracing the tight end?
Correct.
Travis Kelce, Dave, Gronkowski.
Here it is. We just came up with your idea.
Yeah. Hit me.
NFT e premium. Non-fungible tight end premium leagues brought to you by David Kitchen.
Kitchen is
there's something
there.
Something will happen. Substack NFT, something will happen.
Why are you so stuck on this Substack idea?
Because everyone does a Substack.
I haven't seen one in at least a few days pop up.
Exactly. You got to figure out your Substack, what it is. Like some people,
how many newsletters do you subscribe to? You seem to me to be a guy who's like, oh, I'm in on this. I'm signing up for the newsletter. And then every morning you spend your morning deleting 12 newsletter emails.
No, it's not every morning. It's like every couple of months doing a filter search and then like just archiving those things. But there are a few newsletters, either business or marketing or Top Shot. Those are the three newsletters that I'm subscribed to. And like Gretsch's Substack.
His is the only one I've ever paid for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice that you paid for his and not the man's coin. All right. That's the other thing I was going to think of. Like you could have rankings tied to NFTs.
You could.
That's
for what?
Like, so let's say that you had JJ.
Kitchen loves rankings.
Kitchen loves
rankings. Yeah. Or tier-based rankings. So you could have like JJ say, like, let's say he didn't put his rankings out for free for NumberFire. And he said, whoever is holding the late round QB coin gets the latest rankings. Mm-hmm. And so if someone does not want those, or they're just doing it, you know, whatever the value is, they could sell it for a higher price. And so only like 25 people are getting his personal rankings instead of like all of Fantasy Pros or all of whatever getting that.
Yeah. Not to continue this conversation, but that's what's the conversation that's been happening is there used to be, what was it? I think it was Kevin Kelly who had the 1,000 true fans idea of you could make a living on that. And now they're saying with NFTs, it could be 100 true fans who are willing to pay. So you're saying make it more scarce, but those people are going to foot way more of the bill.
And they can always get out when they want to. Like they, but I mean, obviously the price is going to go down, which JJ could like introduce another, or you could have like a dynasty coin and a redraft coin and a best ball coin. And the dynasty coin would be like a lifetime coin. You know, those are the certain things that I'm sure we'll see pop up.
Soccer Dave coin coming soon.
Oh, can you imagine how valuable that would be?
I can't. I truly cannot.
Dave, take it from experience. It's exhausting creating and pumping your own coin.
Kitchen would not do what you did with the individual numbers, though. He'd just click print and make 100 of them.
I definitely wouldn't write handwritten letters.
I wanted Kitchen bet with Davis to do real life Chubbies NFTs. 100 different copies of Dave in various poses.
All right, we'll continue our think tank episodes this summer. Make sure you hit this like button, subscribe. The football show that you have come to know and love. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Special thanks to Peter, to Davis, and to Mr. Tuttle 05. We'll see you next time here on the Roto Grinders Swolecast.